We're going to look at a twist of subjects this morning. And as Don had mentioned, the title of the message this morning is The Fight or Fight Against Contempt. And I'm going to explain that and why that's important for us as believers to understand how God wants us to deal with contempt and how he wants to use that opportunity for his glory. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I'm asking, Father, that you speak to each heart. May we know that we've met with you. May we know that you personally have spoken to our heart. May you capture our ears. May you capture our hearts. May you capture us within our own spirit, Father, with the things that you'd have for us to hear today through this message. And I ask, Father, please, that you will accomplish your work in it, not only in each of our lives, Father, but accomplish the work that you have for us as a church to do, to be all that you'd have us to be more than we ever have been, to be effective as you have desired for us. And I just pray, Father, that you will just reveal yourself this way in great and unexpected ways, that your name will be glorified, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So contempt is to have great disdain or despising something or someone. To have contempt is to have great disdain or despising something or someone. You know, we've had contempt at times in our own families where there has been such a disdain or such a divisiveness in our families that come from contempt. We've had friends that we've had for years that for whatever reasons we might have a blow up in our relationship, and there's a contempt or a despising of attitude within our friendships. There are religions that have contemptuous attitudes toward other religions. We have in politics today, we have the strong contempt of different parties that have their own points of view. We have contempt in our culture when it comes to moral standards and conduct that constantly are in front of us. And so contempt is something that we can deal with in our families, amongst our friends, between different religious faiths, in politics, and in social culture. But most people don't expect kindness or respect from those who oppose them. Now, let me say that again. Most people don't expect kindness or respect from those who oppose them. So when we have a conflict in our family, what we do expect in our flesh is to have negative response and no kindness. When we do have a conflict with our friends, we expect the same thing. When we have a conflict of difference of beliefs and religions, we expect to have a contentious, you know, dig your heels in the dirt type thing. The same with politics. And even when we're confronted with issues of modern social cultural challenges, moralities, lifestyles, things of that nature, we have a sense that in our flesh that we're stepped back and we're become contentious about those things. And our attitude becomes very firm and almost angry, if not angry. And that's not what God wants for us to have. God wants us to look at issues of contempt with the perspective that those issues can be used for God's glory. And so it's not a far stretch from that as we look into this in the message. Jesus tells us how to deal with contempt in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. It says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" Now let's stop right there. Loving your neighbor is the brotherhood of mankind. Now, we can say loving our neighbor, we might try to muster up a sense of filial love, brotherhood love, in the sense of a friendship and emotional love for our neighbor. But he's not talking about mustering up an emotional love for your neighbor, although that's okay to have that affection for your neighbor. He's talking about the fact that we're all people, created in God's image, that we are to, for the sake of mankind, we are to love our neighbor as God would have us to. But here, again, it says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" There's a distinctive response of the flesh there. I'm going to love those that love me, and I'm going to hate those that hate me. And God doesn't teach us to live that way. He teaches us to live in the Spirit, in Christ, in fellowship with him. He says, you know, how great is your love if you love those that love you? But how much greater is our love if we love those that hate us? Because it reflects the character of God. It breaks down barriers. It helps bring productivity in differences of opinion. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, in verse 44 again, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies. It's the moral love as a person, loving people because they're people. This sounds like an oxymoron, but it's a benign compassion, meaning that we are to be compassionate toward people regardless of the circumstances. They don't affect us. The circumstances don't affect us. The differences don't affect us, but we're called by God to have compassion for people because they're people created in God's image. And so we are to love our enemies. And then goes on and says, we are to bless those who curse you. And the word blessing, now, you know, you've heard me use the illustration before that blessing is not I bless you type as a verbal statement. It's not an action of some sort that indicates that you're giving them a blessing. It is speaking good about those that are your enemies or those that curse you. It is to be courteous and friendly toward those that are our enemies. That's not a normal response. But if we have an enemy and we're acting courteously and friendly with them, we're showing kindness, we're showing respect just for the sake that they're individual human beings that deserve respect, whether the actions prove it or not, on the basis of being just a fellow human being, we should respect the individuals. We should respect the fact that everybody has, obviously, a right to their opinion. And he says, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, pray for those that persecute us, that we are to pray for their forgiveness, that we are to not desire any harm to come to them or vengeance. You remember what Jesus said on the cross? The soldiers that nailed him to the cross, the clothing that were in their hands, the gambling over who would get his tunic. And Jesus, as he's hanging up there on the cross, looks down at the soldiers and he prays to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, sometimes contempt in all of our position and our views and our stances, we find ourselves thinking that this contempt, the contemptible stand that we're taking, is good to take that stand with an attitude of contempt. But as believers, an attitude of contempt is not the way to take our stand for what is right. Because contempt will backfire on us. Contempt will build the walls of barrier as opposed to breaking down the walls that bring barriers. And so we are to pray for those that also who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now I'm going to read those three verses over again real quickly. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. What is the objective here in this passage of Scripture? That we reflect being children of God. That we are, in essence, are saying, look, we are Christians by faith in Christ Jesus. We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We are representatives, ambassadors of Christ because of our faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in that, we are to reflect our relationship with God, that we have our Heavenly Father, we're His children, we're placed in this world of darkness to bear His light. And he says at the end of verse 45, he says, an example for us. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. God is not partial in this particular instance to what blessings he gives. He gives rain for everybody, those that hate him and oppose him and deny him, and those that are for him and serve him. He gives the same to everybody. He gives rain and he gives sun, two basic elements that are necessary for the things that we need in life to be able to grow, to have the needs that we have. So God is saying, look at people as a whole, as mankind. Look at people as every individual created in the image of God. Look at people as the ones that I died for on the cross for. Everybody. John 3:16. We know that. He died for the whole world. We're to look at that as a way to help diffuse our prejudice attitudes towards people. God doesn't want us to be prejudiced. He's not. We're His children. We're supposed to be people that are caring for all people, regardless of what their background is. And so I don't have this verse on the screen, but 1 Peter 3:9, I have it in my Bible here. I want to read it to you. 1 Peter 3:9, and it says, not returning evil for evil or reviling, that's insult, for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We're not called to return evil for evil. We're not called to insult someone when they insult us. We are called to give a blessing, kindness and respect to other people, regardless of what their view is, regardless of what their stand is, regardless of how much they despise us. We are to show a blessing because we are called to this. God has called you and I as God's children to be people that are loving, kind, and respectful to others. And if we are that kind of people, then we will inherit a blessing. Now, the objective is not to be kind to people because we'll get a blessing from God. The objective is to be the people that God wants us to be, that He's glorified, and because of that, in turn, God will bless us. But that final part is not the objective. Does that make sense? So, in other words, we're not just doing it for getting what we want out of it. I'll take your blessing, I'll do this, because that extrapolates, or takes out the sincerity of what you're trying to do with others. And so God wants us to show that goodness and kindness to all people. Easy said, hard to do. Easy said, hard to do. I can't remember where it was this week that I heard someone on TV, I believe it was on TV, that was saying that they were surprised by the response of a believer. Oh, it was a testimony of a guy. Oh, it was on, okay, Eric Metaxas on his show. And Christian Mann, great, great, great show. But anyways, he had a guest on there that was for years he was a practicing, well-known homosexual that was very prestigious. And he had come in contact with a Christian. And he began to realize that the Christian wasn't judging and rejecting him, but was acknowledging him as that individual. They invited, oh, it was there at a coffee shop. It's coming back. This has happened when you get older. The piece, you kind of retrieve the pieces. Okay, that's what's happened. So they're at a coffee shop. He heard these guys talking, Christians, this Christian group talking. And so these two guys that were homosexual guys, they heard this group of Christians talking. They said, let's go over there and stir up a little trouble. Let's see what they have to say about us. And to come to find out, the group sat with them, invited them to sit. They talked. They had a good conversation, and they were shocked. And they invited them to come to church. So the one guy decides, I'm going to come to church. He comes to church. He didn't see the others that invited him. He just went in there and sat down. And he heard the message, and the message was riveting. The message grabbed his heart. The message woke him up. And he received Christ as his Savior. But at the end of the service, there were opportunities for him to get up and go talk to people that were there for prayer. And he said that as he got up to talk to one of the guys, and he explained to the guy, I have been a practicing homosexual. I have repented of that sin. God has grabbed my heart. God has given me a clear vision of understanding of who he is and loving me personally. And I've given myself to him. And I was expecting the guy to back up and to not want to have anything to do with me because of who I've been. But the guy didn't act that way. And so what happened was, when he received Christ, he said, all that desire, all that inclination, all that was who he was in the past, he says, I could just feel the Holy Spirit took it from me. It was just gone. And now he's a solid, strong Christian. Now let me ask you a question. Are you uncomfortable with people that have different morals than you when you come in contact with them as just an individual, let alone as a Christian? You know their position. This guy here and his buddy went up to that table knowing that their intent was to stir up the pot. And what they got in response was, come join us, sit down, let's talk. They didn't get judged. They didn't get they didn't get rejected. Instead, they got invited. And God used that. You see, that's what it means. That they could have said, well, here's what the Bible says. I'm going to set you straight right now. Boom, 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 boom. With an attitude of contempt. The Bible may have been there. The Word of God may have been brought up. But out of an attitude of kindness and mutual respect. Because of human beings. Because you're people, because Christ died for us. In Romans 12:20, it says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Huh. Is that, like the, is that our goal, to heap coals of fire on his head? Now, sometimes refining metals, in old times, they would put metal on top of coals. They would throw coals and burning wood on top of the metal as well to help bring out the impurities in the metal. And so this picture of throwing coals on top of their head, and maybe in my mind is that of being someone that's so hard-hearted that you're just going to throw the coals on top of their head through kindness. But the picture is that by being kind to those that are against us, it acts like those coals being laid on top of their head, but the motive is not for your vengeance to be completed. Good. They're uncomfortable. Good. I've got them back. Good. Rub your nose in that. I was nice to you and you didn't think so. That's the wrong attitude. That's an attitude of contempt. But the whole intent of this scripture is to melt the heart to reconciliation, or to bring conviction to repentance. That through kindness and love and respect, in spite of the conflict, we behave as children of light, doing what God has called us to do, that there might be a resolve, that there might be bring peace, that it might establish friendship, or that they might even come to know Christ, or to repent. The whole intent there is not to get vengeance, for Jesus said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? So the intent's not for vengeance, it's to melt their heart or to convict their heart to be in the right heart attitude. But we can't approach people with a contemptuous attitude and expect fruit from that glorifies God. We just can't do it. So we're to be kind and respectful to others, especially those against you, or to those who have opposing views to your lives. We are to encourage respectful communication. Instead of being on your position and declaring your stance or trying to make straight that they get their act together based upon what you believe, how about asking God to open up a door of genuine, honest conversation about the issues that confront you? When we do that, we're opening up a door of opportunity for healing. We're to ask to explain our thoughts on the difficult issues and encourage them by letting them know that we're going to listen to the opposite points of view. I have some people I've been praying for well over a year that are in a situation that is extremely uncomfortable for me. Initially, my attitude was of I have to confess, anger. My attitude was one of disgust. My attitude was one that says, man, I gotta set them straight. Got to let them know the truth, lay it out there, and then say, this is what's going to happen. But as I've been praying, God's been holding me back from that. As I've been praying, my prayers have changed to, Lord, prepare their hearts to be open to talk. Prepare their hearts to be open to discussing the difference. Prepare their hearts to be able to receive my biblical point of view on this. And hopes that they might find that I'm not against them and I'm not supporting them, but I am encouraging them to consider God and His Word. And so God's been working on my heart. He's kept me back from going and talking to these people. I scratched my head. Why? And I believe that's part of the reason why. It's almost like, as a pastor, well, just clean this up quickly because you got a job to do. God's saying, hold on, boy. I've got some preparation to do before that happens. And it's going to be with you. And it's going to be with them. And so I'm looking for God to open up that door. You see, if we approach things with contempt, we build barriers. If we approach people out of genuine love and respect and kindness toward them, in spite of where they're at, it gives opportunity to communicate and to break down the barriers and ultimately to present God's truth. In Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may, what? See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're called to bring glory to God in everything. The way we let our light shine is by loving people regardless of where they're at. Love people, family, friends, religious cults, whatever, different groups, social cultures, the things we've mentioned before, still love people. Romans 2:11 in the Contemporary English Bible, it says, God does not have favorites. And then in the same verse, in Romans 2:11, in the Amplified Version, it says, for God shows no partiality, no arbitrary favoritism. With Him, one person is not more important than another. This is God's heart. God died for the whole world. He sent His Son to die for the whole world, all mankind. The focus is mankind. And out of a love that cannot be measured, it's impossible to measure God's love. He died for all of mankind, and we're to reflect that kind of love for all people. Now, let me ask you a question. If I say this word to you, how does it make you feel? Muslim. Islam. What happens? Is there a barrier of anxiety and stress inside? Is there a disdain and a contempt because of how you view that religion and people that are involved in that lifestyle? Are you defensive because you're scared and you're trying to protect yourself? We don't have to agree with the religion. But we do need to remember that Christ died for all people. So you say, well, what do I do with that? Because it scares me to death. I mean, it did me. I got to be honest with you. I'm going, oh, infiltration. Oh, man, we're going to get slaughtered here one day. Man, history shows this in Spain and all these other areas where takeover and all this conflict has happened. Frankly, historically, with Muslim strategies. But what God is showing me this, and maybe you've noticed this. I mean, I used to walk around the schools and I'd see the young women, Muslim women, running track. And I'd go, man, infiltrated in the school again. What's going to happen? Instant judgment and a sense of contempt for what's happening. But if we're, I remember going into Walmart and there was a Muslim woman that was trying to push the cart through an area. I think there was a door. And I helped her. And I said, let me help you with that. And she looked at me like, really? Not with a disdain, but with a surprise, and yet still with a, you know, guarding herself, pushing you back. There's an attitude that I've seen where they expect that disdain from people. But you and I are children of light. You and I are called to, and called, mind you, of God to bear the light of Christ. So look at people as individuals, not collectively. God brings a Muslim or a homosexual or all, any type of religious, moral, social conflict that you have a sense of contempt toward. If God brings any of that in your path, take the opportunity to be children of light. Show love and kindness and respect, not because of what their belief and value system represent, but because they are part of mankind whom Christ died for out of love. Amen. You see, that's our opportunity to be a light in such an ugly, contemptuous world that we live in. We certainly see it in politics. If we have someone who's going to throw their feet in the dirt and stand in your face and yell and shout at you because you're a Trumper or because you're a Democrat or because you're whatever, that's the world. That's the standard way. But God calls us not to do that. He calls us to be loving, kind, respectful, and look for opportunities to say, can we discuss why I believe this way and why you believe this way? So we can understand each other. You might not come to an agreement, but at least you can break down the wall and say, I respect you enough as a human being to hear what you have to say. Because if we don't want to hear, don't want to listen, don't want to be kind, and just yell it and shout it in their face, this is the way it is, and you're an idiot, point blank, frankly, does that bring peace? Or does it build a wall of contempt? So if we want to be instruments that God can use to help our country to become more of a country that is unified, let us bear the light of Christ in those positions that are so confronting. God doesn't ask us to adopt views that are against His Word. God's not asking us to compromise what we believe is true. He's asking us to show respect and kindness to other people enough to listen and to hear and to understand. And who knows, maybe through that we might even have some changed perspectives and otherwise so. And so God has called us to bear His light. He's called us not to have favorites. We are to be children of light. We're to love those opposed to us. We're to be vessels that God uses to help break down the barriers of prejudice. We're to stand true on God's word, right? I tease some, I know I've done it with Wyatt and many of the other guys in here, I walk by and I go, boom, right on their back, you know. You've been hit by the word. But there's a tendency in our own contention, in our own stand where, you know, I go, I'd love to just kind of go to that person and go, boom, do you get this or not? I mean, not literally, but emotionally. Come on, look what God says. What's wrong with you? But that's out of an attitude of contempt, not out of love. So we're to stand true to God's word, not through contempt for opposing views, but through Christ's love. I had a friend of mine, acquaintance, between acquaintance and friend, okay? And he was very rich, but he lived a homosexual lifestyle. And he had his buddies. And his sister and I went, and we stayed overnight. She was a mentor to me, a Christian woman, a mentor to me. And her husband was a mentor with me. And we went and stayed overnight in a penthouse overlooking Al Capone's Island in Miami. And I knew what was there. I had a maid that served me. Never had that experience. I had a view that was all rich, out all the walls that were glass. But I knew the environment. But there was this one guy that at one time wanted to be a priest, but ended up going into the gay lifestyle. And this one guy started engaging in a conversation with who was my pastor's wife. And they started talking. Next day, we all went bowling. We laughed, we bowled, we did all this stuff. But this one guy was drawn in by the Spirit of God. And through conversation, love, kindness, and respect as a human being, not for the values, he came to know the Lord. I remember to this day, his name was Roy, or Rob. I know it was three letters, started with an R and an O. But regardless of that, do you understand the point? It's much more effective to operate God's way than our way. We can't push people through a Play-Doh machine and make them into the shape we want them to be. We must share the truth of what God has for us to share with them. To fight contempt, to break down barriers of hatred, we must practice Romans 12:18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And when we do that, we will shine as children of light. Amen? Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you for the things that you teach us in your word. Father, off the top of my mind, there's so much political contempt that is breaking our country apart. There is so much contempt for immorality. We stand as Christians on a position of righteous indignation, but we've allowed that to make us puffed up at times. I ask your forgiveness for that. But I do pray, Father, this, that you soften our hearts, that you give us wisdom, that we act in love and kindness and respect to others, that the door might be open to reveal the truth of you through your word, that some might come to know you, that your light will shine bright in the darkness of the world that we live in, that we will take privilege to the opportunity to be the light you called us to be in the world. Let us muse over these things. Let us meditate on these things. Don't let this escape us. And then give us courage, Father, when opportunities that you put in front of us are there for us to show that loving, kind respect for another fellow human being whom you died for. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.